Hello, everyone. Hello. Today's shiur is dedicated to Lili Nishmas, Rachel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi. Okay, let's begin. We're in the middle of the Chavetz Chaim's Hakdama to the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. He's going through all the laws and assays that one violates if he speaks Lashon Hara. And we're discussing Lav Ches and Tes, Lo Sikam and Lo Situr. Last time we discussed Lo Situr more on a halachic level, holding a grudge. How long is one allowed to hold a grudge for? You know, at what point is it usur? You know, like immediately when someone does something to you, you're angry. That's normal and that's allowed. That we discussed last week. But then you have to, it has to, little by little, you have to get rid of the emotion and to avoid the violating the law of go sitor, not holding a grudge. Okay. So good. So that's a halachic discussion. Now, what I wanted to start with today is, like, ideas, like how to do that. How does one get rid of a grudge? It's hard to get rid of a grudge. You know, someone does something bad to you, and you're angry and you're upset. That's basically a normal human emotion. It's a normal human reaction. You're angry at someone, you're upset, and you don't want to hold a grudge, and you don't want to violate the law. So is there anything we can do? Any ideas? Any ideas? Things we can try to do to figure out ways to work on not holding a grudge, even though it's difficult? Okay. So I want to mention three ideas, two from Rav Hirsch, and then one from Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky. Okay. Rav Hirsch here, it's in Vayikra, it's in the source sheets. It's in Vayikra, pages 526 and 527. So Rav Hirsch develops two ideas. Number one, Rav Hirsch writes that holding a grudge, bearing a grudge, is an emotion. Holding a grudge is an emotion. And yes, we have to understand that just like the Torah demands of us, from Hashem demands of us, obedience and devotion in actions, Hashem also demands obedience and devotion in emotions. We have to control our emotions. That's what the Torah demands of us. And we have to recognize that and be aware of it. He writes here as follows. Hashem has the disposition of our land and our possessions. Hashem demands acts of devotion and acts of devotion and loyalty to Him, to the benefit of our fellow men. He has also reserved to Himself the disposition of our feelings. And by Lo Sikam and Lo Sitor, demands the still greater sacrifice of our feelings by submitting them entirely to the dictates of His will and purging these wrong emotions, these negative emotions, from every feeling of revenge or of bearing any grudge against our offending fellow men. We have to understand the Torah demands of us our emotions as well. It's not just actions, it's also how we think, how we feel about things. Lo Sachmot is a classic example. Lo Sachmot is one of the Aseres HaDibros. We shouldn't desire somebody else's item, somebody else's object. A person has a beautiful car. I want that car. What can I do to get that car? And I plan how to convince my friend to sell me his car, and I'm overcome with this desire to get somebody else's car. That's Lo Sachmot. You're not allowed. And, yeah, but, well, it's being jealous is sort of normal. Okay, yeah, but you got to do that. The Torah says no. And the Rishonim discussed the ideas how, this whole idea. But the fact is, Hashem demands that we control our emotions as well. So we have to know Hashem demands control of Lo Sikam and Lo Sitor as well. And it is possible to do this. Any mitzvah Hashem gives us is within our ability to do. That we know. If Hashem makes a demand, it means we're able to do it. Hashem doesn't make demands that are beyond our abilities. That's a basic yesod in Torah Hashkafa, that anything the Torah commands is within our ability to do. It's a very, very deep idea, because it gets back to the idea, there's a famous yesod, that when Hashem created the world, Hashem looked into the Torah to create the world. The Torah is the blueprint for the world. Well, so by definition, if Hashem gives us a command, Hashem created us and built us based on the Torah. By definition, if something's in the Torah, we're able to do it. It's like the Torah, I saw this mashal of Ari Kaplan's writings. The Torah is like a computer program, and then there's the printout. So by definition, if there's a printout, it came from that computer program. I mean, it somehow it fits. And you have to figure out how it fits. It might be complicated, but it fits somehow. So Hashem created us from the Torah. So by definition, our lives can fit with the Torah. So if Hashem says, control your emotions, we're able to control our emotions. Work hard and you can do it. That's point number one. Recognize it's a mitzvah and we're able to do it. Point number two, Rav Hirsch says, is focus on and think about tremendous schar, the tremendous reward we get for working on this emotion and trying not to hold a grudge. Rav Hirsch quotes two ideas, both very important, from Chazal. Number one, Rav Hirsch quotes, Kol ha-maivra al-midosav, marvirnu al-kolpsha'av. Someone who lightly passes over the transgressions against him, Hashem will lightly pass over offenses that he committed against Hashem. In other words, if somebody does something bad to us and difficult to us and hard to us, and we try to overlook it, and we try to lightly pass it over, then mida keneged mida, Hashem will treat us in the same way. We know the Sfarim talk about that Hashem has the midas hadin and midas harachamim, strict justice and more mercy, and all of us want that Hashem will judge us with rachamim. The Chafetz Chaim discusses this point at great length in the Sefer Avos Chesed. He writes about this idea that there are two ways Hashem could judge a person, and every person wants that Hashem will judge him with more mercy, with more rachamim. And it's up to us, mida keneged mida. The way we treat others here is the way Hashem will judge us. So, if we're marvel amitosav, if a person lightly passes over the offenses committed against him by his fellow man, then Hashem says, Hashem will lightly pass over the transgressions that we do against Hashem. And so it's a very important idea. So the more we work on trying not to hold a grudge, then we're earning the right, mida keneged mida, for Hashem to judge us with more rachamim as well. Another idea, our first quotes, that the Gemara says that there are certain qualities that are special, unique to Am Yisrael. That Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, are able to achieve high levels. Hane'elavin ve'enan olvin, shomin charpasan ve'enan mashivin, alein akasuv omer va'ohavav kitzeis Hashemesh b'gvurasso. This means they put up with insults and do not reciprocate. They hear abuse and do not reply. They do all their deeds in love. Then the pasuk says about them in Shoftim Perek Hey, those that love Him, or Hashem, are like unto the sun, which goes out radiantly in all its power from all the darkening clouds. A Jew who's able to do this, to hear an insult and not reply, it's a very high level. Hashem promises tremendous reward. And you're like the sun. Hashem loves you like the sun that shines forth through the clouds. We have to know it's possible, it's doable, and you'll be zochah for this wonderful bracha of the pasuk. So Rav Hirsch mentions these two points. Point number one, we have to know it's a mitzvah, and Hashem commands of us and requires of us, and it means we can do it, to control our emotions as well. Number two, we should recognize the tremendous reward that we can get from working on this particular emotion, and the tremendous bracha that Hashem will give us. Those are two points, two ideas, two etzas, pieces of advice, how to work on avoiding holding a grudge, and holding a grudge too long. Oh, there's a third point. This point, I saw it discussed in Rabbi Abraham J. Chorsky's writings. Rabbi Chorsky has wonderful books, great books, so many deep ideas. He has the Torah insights, he has the psychological insights, he puts them all together, and he writes in a very straightforward, clear manner. He's also quite funny as well. Wonderful books. Highly recommend them. Highly recommend them. Well, so one of his books, From Pulpit to Couch, he talks about the toxicity of resentments. The toxicity of resentments. Now, Bertwisky is interesting. Bertwisky discovered or noticed many years ago that the AA system, Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. It works for many, many people. And he was intrigued, you know, about this whole system. And he studied this system and he learned from it. And Rabbi Chorsky actually went to meetings to observe and to learn from what they do. And he's written books about this. Rabbi Chorsky has books where he talks about taking the methods of AA and using it for growth in Avodas Hashem. You know, just to work on yourself as a person in a ruchnia sense and Avodas Hashem. Fascinating, mamish, very fascinating ideas Rabbi Chorsky has. And again, he says, he writes in the books, he'd go to meetings. He'd go to meetings to observe and to see what they're doing. Oh. So he describes here in his book, From Pulpit, it's in the source sheets, that he had a discussion with someone at one of these meetings about trying to get rid of resentment. And he says here, beautiful ideas, and I've mentioned this to students of mine, and they've done this. And it works. Here we go. He writes here, I ran into Andrew and asked him how he was faring. I'm very bitter about what they did to me. Andrew was an alcoholic, apparently, and his company did something horrible to him. And I'm full of resentments. But I will go to a meeting tonight and try to dump the resentments. You see, if I hang on to these resentments, I will drink again. In other words, the resentments is something negative. It occurred to me that Andrew had an insight not shared by many people. He knew that harboring resentments was destructive because it would lead him to drink. How many millions of people carry grudges and do not try to divest themselves of them? It might not lead them to drink, but smoldering anger can be very destructive. It can cause high blood pressure, heart disease, digestive disorders, and migraines. Unlike Andrew, many people are not aware that harboring resentments is toxic. Oh, anger is a complex feeling. You do not have too much choice whether or not to feel angry when you are provoked or offended. That is virtually a reflex action. That's what we saw similar in the Chofetz Chaim. Getting angry, that's a reflex. And Hashem doesn't demand of you not to get angry. But you do have a choice about how to react. And you also have a choice about how long to allow the anger to linger. Oh, if the anger lingers, a person may exercise restraint and not react violently when provoked to anger. However, if the anger lingers, it may lead to unwise judgments and more subtle reactions, which are frequently self-destructive. Oh. Now, of course, he goes on. This is such a deep insight. At one meeting, I heard someone say, harboring resentments is like letting someone whom you don't like live inside your head without paying any rent. Harboring resentments is like letting someone whom you don't like live inside your head without paying any rent. It occurred to me he was absolutely correct. The person who was the object of my resentments couldn't care less about how I feel about him. The person you're angry at, the holding the grudge, he's going on with his life. You're the one being hurt. You have a grudge against someone. Reuven did something horrible to Shimon. And Shimon's walking around his life holding on to a grudge. Who's Shimon? What's he doing? What's he accomplishing? He's accomplishing nothing. He's hurting himself. The grudge is hurting himself. Reuven's fine. He's happy. He's good going on with his life. A deep idea. My resentments don't bother the other person a bit. I'm the one who suffers the consequences of the anger eating at my insides. Why should I suffer just because another person acted improperly? It doesn't make any sense. This is not a complicated philosophic observation. But verbalizing resentments and getting feedback from people who have managed to overcome grudges can be life-saving. In other words, try to work on it. You verbalize the resentments, you talk it out with someone, you help work through it. But now here's the point. Your goal should be to work through it. What do you gain by holding on to the resentment? Think of ways, and he talks about here, as a psychologist, you verbalize, you talk it through. He writes here, by the way, they say elephants never forget. If you hurt a dog once, he'll remember it. Holding on to a grudge is not uniquely human. That is a trait we share with animals. Getting over resentments is uniquely human, and it makes us more spiritual. We should think about it this way. The resentment doesn't help me at all. It only hurts me. So Rabbi Twersky is writing, we should recognize the destructive power of the resentment. And therefore, if I view it as toxic inside of me, I'll work harder to get rid of it. I'll talk it out with someone, try to understand what's happening and to work through it. A very deep insight, which he says he gained observing this AA meeting. A similar idea that he writes, another idea that he writes, which he also says he learned from the AA meetings, is the following idea. You can't control something. If you can't control something fully, what are you supposed to do? So there's a phrase he quotes, let God and let go. Let Hashem and let go. Meaning, if you can't control something fully, ask Hashem to help you. Ask Hashem to help you. And this applies here as well. You have this resentment, and you're having a hard time getting over, and you know it's toxic, and it's hard to, and you don't know what to do. It's bothering you. And again, Rabbi Twersky writes, you're hurting yourself. Rabbi Twersky writes in his books, Daven to Hashem, and it'll help you get rid of it. Daven to Hashem. Recognize it's destructive. Recognize it's not helping you. Do what you can, and then daven. I've told this to people. I've had students call me, somebody, they were so upset, somebody did something terrible to them, and it was a horrible experience. The details don't matter right now, really horrible. And she said she's walking around holding on to, and she can't get over it. And she dislikes this person and hates this person. It's eating away at her, and it bothers her. So we spoke about it a little while. And then I pointed out what Avtrusky writes here, and I suggested daven about it. And she did. She called back a few months later, a few weeks later, and said she feels much better, Baruch Hashem, not totally Baruch Hashem. You know, it's not the only thing to do, but it can help. This can work. If we recognize it's toxic, and then ask Hashem to help us get rid of it, then very often we're able to be more spiritual, as Avtrusky writes, and get past the resentment. It's not a 100% solution. It doesn't always work. It's a wonderful idea. These are three angles that we have. Three angles on trying to get rid of that resentment. Recognize it's toxic. It's not helping you inside at all. Oh, okay. This is the Chafetz Chaim, Lav Ches and Lav Tes. Okay, let's continue. The next Lav we're going to do is Lav Yud Aleph. Lav Yud Aleph is really a partner with Mitzvah Vav. After the Chafetz Chaim goes through the lavs that are associated with Lashon Hara, he then starts with the positive commandments, Mitzvah Saseh. So here, there's Lav Yud Aleph and Mitzvah Vav. We're going to do them together. Oh, here, let's read Lav Aleph. He says, so far we've been discussing, you're speaking Lashon Hara by yourself. I mean, you're talking to somebody, but you're speaking as an individual. Aval, imidabik atzmo l'chevra. Shalan sheiresh shovai Lashon Hara. Let's say you join a Lashon Hara speaking Chevra. You join this group. There's a Lashon Hara speaking group every day for lunch, every Tuesday for lunch. You have this lunch together, and the purpose of the lunch is let's get together and speak Lashon Hara. Whatever happened earlier, let's talk about it here. So you've joined a Lashon Hara speaking group. Gam kein over alav to lo siach rabin leros. There's a lav to join a negative chevra. A chevra that's involved in ra, to join up with that chevra, is a lav. The pasuk is talking about how the beis din works and how judges work, but the Gemara also says that this applies to having a bad chevra. Hu azhara shel lahaskim lishaber im osei avel, af sheheim rabin. There are people there, and they're doing an aveira. A lot of people. Hey, so if people are doing it, it can't be that bad. A lot of people are doing it. I'll join the crowd. You join that crowd. You join a group. This is a very important idea. A person joins a chevra that's doing an aveira. That joining with the chevra is a special lav within itself. Oh, so the Chafetz Chaim says that if a person joins a Lashon Hara speaking chevra, they violate this lav. Oh. Let's go to Mitzvah Vav. Turn to Mitzvah Vav as well. A little later on. Mitzvah Vav, he gives the positive side. The positive side of joining an appropriate chevra. The Mitzvah Saseh. He says here, so far we've been discussing someone who is Mesaper Gnus Al Chaveiro Beno Lebein Atzmo. One person by himself. But if you're Medabek Es Atzmo L'Chavura Shalan Shei Resha K'dei L'Saper Lehem Divrei Gnus, etc., over gam ha mitzvah saseh shel uvo sidbak. Interesting. Uvo sidbak means there's a mitzvah to cling, to cleave unto Hashem. To be davek b'Hashem. Interesting mitzvah. To cling unto Hashem. Hashem's totally ruchnis. How can a person cleave unto? What does that mean? Oh. Uvo perish b'divi chazal. Chazal explained, the Chafetz Chaim quotes, we're reading mitzvah vav. We should connect with Talmid Chachamim and Yiri Shemayim. To eat and drink with the Talmud Chacham. Velasos pragmatio with Talmud Chacham. Do business with the Talmud Chacham. The more you connect with, spend time with a Talmud Chacham, eating with Talmud, or doing business with Talmud Chacham, through that, Hakol Kadesha Yilmad Mima Asehem. You learn from their actions. The Gemara says that the way we fulfill Uvo Sidbak is by we trying to get close to the great Rabbanan, the great Yerei Shamayim. And since they're close to Hashem, so if we get close to them, in that sense, we're getting close to Hashem, we're being Davik Bashem. So a person is supposed to go out of his way to try to be close with Tamil Chachamim. Well, Ulachain Bivadai. Mi Sha'o Sehefer Zeh. If you do the opposite, and you dafka join up with people who are doing aveiras, shemidabek atzmo imachubro imrashayim, shalvashayim, over al mitzvah saseizu. So the Chafetz Chaim here is saying a very important idea. A person who chooses to join a negative chevra is violating a lav and also violating an aseh. Oh, now, this particular mitzvah vav and lav yod aleph is very lemaisa. It comes up in real life all the time. There's a footnote here. It's amazing. The Chafetz Chaim understood human nature. And he gives examples, and it's like he's talking to us right nowadays. The examples he gives are exactly things that go on, real life examples. Look here in the footnote. Footnote Vav, the last paragraph in footnote Vav, he gives the following example. He says, I wrote inside about kitot anashim. There are groups of people. And if you choose to join the group doing aveiras, that's a lav. Shayach gam kein al chasana. You're at a wedding. Koyotze bezeh. Shemesubin elu kitot gam kein. There are different groups at the wedding. V'harbei pahamim mesi sayetzer l'kanez davka b'toch anashim sheyucha l'dabri mahem. Kol masha yirtza. Sometimes you go to a wedding, and the Yetzer says, go sit with that group. And that group, you talk whatever you want. V'yish v'lishma mehem, hear whatever you want. Ubevada yipa yidei zeh b'chei ta'asim shaloshin, and you probably violate Lashon Hara there in that group. Avalim yiskaber al yitzvah, you conquer Yetzer Hara. V'yeshev etzo ba'alei Torah, yinatzo michei zeh, you'll be saved from this chait. V'yikayim od mitzvaseyu v'osid bak. U'kmash gazef ha'rambam. You go to a wedding, and you walk in, and you see it, and you have a choice of a few tables to sit at. And you see the two tables that are available. Sometimes you have a table, you have sit with dafka, whatever the number they give. Sometimes like there are, you know, three tables for their friends, or whatever. And you can tell the different groups that are there. One group you know well, they're careful how they talk, and the other group, they talk Lashon Hara, and they talk about things, and they, you know, superficially it's more fun and exciting and all these things. So you go and join that group. The Chafetz Chaim is saying, when you choose where to sit at the wedding, your mom is playing with fire. Mitzvah saseh en olav. It's a very powerful. This happens in real life. You're in a school. You're in a college. And it's lunchtime. And you're eating, and you go to the lunchroom, and you're eating over there somewhere. And you see two groups sitting at the table. And you can join which group. And you know from past experience, this group, they talk about things, they talk about others, they make fun of people, what I put people down, and this group doesn't. So you have to join the group that doesn't. It's mamish, that's mamish. Mitzvah, lav yod aleph, mitzvah vav comes up in real life a lot. You have a choice. You don't always have a choice. You have a choice where to go. If you're on a van, and suddenly on the van, this is your van you go on, and out of the blue, people speak Lashon Hara, you don't have a choice. Okay, so that we'll discuss, Bezus Hashem, a different time, what to do when you're on the van. But you're choosing where to go. You're choosing where to sit. It's this lav and this mitzvah, very, very lemaisa. One has to choose to sit with the group that will not be speaking Lashon Hara. Well, so we see from here an amazing idea. There's a mitzvah, aseh d'oraisa, to try to have a good chevra. The Chafetz Chaim takes uvo sidbak and expands it. One, to try to have a good chevra. Have a good chevra. They'll have an influence on you. Have a chevra that will help you do avos sidbak. And don't join the chevra, people that do averus, and he calls them involved in chabur ha'shel rishayim. A Jew has to know, aside from working on your own avodas Hashem, there's a mitzvah saseh to try to have a good chevra, and a lav to avoid having a bad chevra. Oh. Now, this is a major yisod in life. You know, many of us come from the States. In high school, we have a lot of friends. In high school, for many people, high school friends are people you have fun with. But when you get older, for many of us, after the year in yeshiva or seminary, year or two in yeshiva or seminary, so then friends are people you grow with. It's a very important distinction. When we're young, we have a lot of fun. When we're older, friends are people you grow with. Now, fun fun is a part of growth. How people spend their free time, how people, you know, proper use of downtime, very important. But you're using the fun, you're using the leisure time as part of one's growth. People need to relax. Let's say boys play ball. They need to relax to play ball. So you're playing ball, and you know, you're trying to figure, well, what chevra do you try to play ball with? You play ball with a chevra that if things don't go well, there's nivel peh, or you play ball with a chevra that they speak more appropriately. In other words, fun's an important part of growth, but you have to recognize that when we get older, friends are people that we grow with. A person's older. A person's in his older compared to high school. A person's in his 30s, and he's having a rough day, and you need someone to give him chizuk. So you want to be able to call someone that understands you, knows where you're coming from, has similar values to what you have. That's what a friend is for. Someone you grow with. Very important to develop that. Very important to have that. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is saying here. You want to have a chevra that helps you grow and get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very important yesod, the difference between our younger years and our older years. Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos talks about different functions of a friend, of a chaver. And he writes that one function of a chaver is he gives you tochacha. He gives you proper rebuke, proper advice. And if you have a friend who's willing to give you tochacha, give you advice, and you listen, very important. See, it's like this. Sometimes we have friends that they might give us rebuke and tochacha, but, you know, somehow, I don't know, maybe given our own, you know, our own, we would say, this guy, who is he to give me rebuke and tochacha? So sometimes it might be a mistake to do that, but sometimes, you know, I don't take it seriously enough. Sometimes I have friends, wonderful people, they're big tzaddikim, they're great, and they're so nice in a sense, they'll never correct me if I'm making a mistake. So they're not going to help me directly grow so much. But if you have a friend who's willing to give you tochacha, and you'll take it, if you have a friend who's willing to give you rebuke and advice, and you'll take it from that friend is a gold mine. Chaver, the gematria, is gold mine. It's not, but let's just go with the flow. Chaver is the gematria gold mine. A chaver like that is a gold mine worth millions of dollars. Someone who's willing to give it to you and you'll take it, hold on to that person. Very important. And that's what a chaver is for. One of the purposes of a chaver, you have a good chaver, and that is a major yesod in life. That a chaver can help you get back on the right track, and you know, a person's off a little bit. Very important yesod. So this is the idea that speaking Lashon Hara within a group setting, and you have a chevra of Lashon Hara speakers, you violated the law, you violated this mitzvah saseh, choosing where to sit at a wedding, choosing where to sit at the lunch, and when you have a choice, you can get involved in this mitzvah and in this law. Oh, in general, recognizing the importance of having a good chevra and trying to develop that good chevra, the difference between our younger years and our older years, and finally, that one chaver, you can find a chaver. Rabbeinu Yonah talks of being a chaver, a very important yesod, Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avos. Being a chaver, one purpose is tochacha, a chaver who will give you tochacha and you'll take it, that chaver is worth $1 million. And very, very important, very important. You know, and sometimes, you know, a person's young. And, you know, young is a relative term. A person's 19, 20, a person's 30, 35. A person's doing something wrong. And your friend gives you advice, puts you back on the right path. You have 90 years, 85 years, 100 years of, on the straight path. Think about it. Somebody gives you tochacha, and you know, your first reaction is you're sensitive. You just listen to your friend, maybe. And you can straighten you out a little bit. And then you're, for 100 years, you're living better. It's worth listening sometimes. It's worth listening. So this is Lav Yud Aleph and Mitzvah Vav, the linkage, the connection between Lashon Hara and this mitzvah and lav regarding friends. Some very important ideas regarding having a proper chevra. Okay, that is lav yod aleph together with mitzvah vav. Okay, let's continue. Back to the lavin. The next lav the Chofetz Chaim discusses is a lav yod gimel. Oh, what is lav yod gimel? Lav yod gimel is onoas devarim, oppressing somebody with words. There's an iser deraisa to cause somebody tsar. Onoas devarim. Let's read it inside. Upamim harbe matsuim od lav echad. Ulefi mashirigilin harbe paamim levazos lechaveru b'maisa parishonim. Ovkam mishpacha. Of milchachas v'betorah. You make fun of someone. You make fun of somebody's past sometimes. You make fun of something in their family. You talk about how they don't learn Torah well. And you do things, the Chafetz Chaim quotes, Asher yach isuhu v'yav hiluhu. For you chal yosem ehem, you get the person upset, and they have no real defense. That was their past. They can't learn Torah so well. And you talk about it and focus on it. Afil imay davar ben olav ben atzmo, over alav, dilo sonu ish es amiso. Do not oppress your friend. And the Gemara says, the Irie, ba'onas devarim, oppressing your friend with words. So in other words, if you speak to someone one-on-one, and you attack them in a way that oppresses them and makes them upset, that's a lav. So certainly, obviously, if you speak Lashon Hara about someone in front of other people, so it's terrible. It's terribly hurtful. If you degrade your friend, make fun of your friend, over gam came belav zeh. If you're speaking Lashon Hara about someone, and he's there, then you're almost for sure violating this lav of lo sonu ish es achiv. You're oppressing someone with words. You're using your koach of dibur, and you're making them upset. You're oppressing someone with words. Okay, very important idea, obviously. And this is what the Torah says: lo sonu ish es amiso. Do not oppress your friend. Oh, now that means do not cause tsar to people. Do not cause tsaras to people. The Mefarshim explains, the Sefer Chinuch explains that our job in life is to bring shalom, bring peace, better things in the world, and to do things to cause somebody to be upset and get angry. That's a lav l'sonu ish es achiv. Now, that's the lav here, and that's Lashon Hara. Oh, now it happens to be that this lav is very, very broad. It comes up all over life. Very interesting. There's a sefer, I've mentioned it before. The sefer is called the Mishpatei HaShalom, sefer on the laws of Ben Adam Chavero. And in this sefer, he discusses other examples of Onoi. See, it's interesting. The Gemara uses the language of Onoas Devarim, but the original Makar doesn't mention Devarim. And he quotes here, this is it's in the source sheets. It's Mishpatei HaShalom, pages Pei and Pei Aleph. He quotes here that the sources indicate that one violates lo sonu ish es amiso, even if it's not with dibur. If it's with actions as well. You do an action, which the norm of this action causes somebody tsar, causes them to be upset, you're mamash violating galav. Very important idea. Oh, He quotes here from Rashi, that Rashi says, you find the Lashon of Tsa'ar, and without specifically mentioning the idea of Dibor, Yachisuhu of Yavhiluhu, that's the language of the Chafetz Chaim quoted, not necessarily focusing on Dibor. So he gives examples of where Lo Sonu Ish Es Amiso comes up, and I think it's worth hearing these examples. These are things people do sometimes, and we should hear them. In other words, what we're saying here, the examples we're about to give, it's not just these aren't nice things to do. But according to many poskim, these are mamish alav. For example, the letter aleph in the footnote. Ve'ef shalomer shekol maisa shu bechavana lidrom hargasha bilti ne'ima b'midam al chaveiro, you violate this lav. For example, hameres chaveiro mishinaso shalomer tzono. You wake your friend up. Al pirob zegorim lo kas v'tzar. Then hareis over b'yisur zet. You wake somebody up, then you violate this law. You have to be careful not to wake up a roommate by mistake. Be very careful. By mistake is less of a problem, but certainly not on purpose. Or waking somebody up, not, or similarly, not letting them fall asleep. The next line. V'chein hamunea es chavero, milu hayradim, adi asiyas rash. God can over below sonu. You don't want your friend to fall asleep. Causes him sorrow. You violate this law. I'll tell you an interesting story. So I teach in yeshiva with Rav Chizkiya Nevensol Shlita. That's Rav Nevensol's son. Rav Nevensol, Rav Avigdor Nevensol Shlita, one of the Gdolei Ador, the Rav of the Old City. So his son, he teaches in our yeshiva. So I once asked him, I said, you know, you grew up with your father's a gadol. Your father's mamash a gadol. So when you were younger, you know, you probably woke him up sometimes and he was sleeping. You know, kids make noise. And then you get older. Like, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with the fact knowing you woke up your father and then he was tired, he wasn't able to learn, but he was a gadol, and you affected his learning so much? Now, Chizki has said to me, you think I woke up my father? I never woke up my father. He woke us up. He woke us up to go to minyan. He woke us up to go to learn. My father was never sleeping. When I was out there to wake him up, he said, I never worried about waking up my father. He woke us up all the time to go to minyan, to go to mitzvos. That's the house of a gadol. That problem, that a kid wakes up his father and he feels bad about it later on in life, Apriski said he never had. All right. That's a classic story. Oh, then he goes on, another example. V'chein. Hamedaleg al tor chaveiro. Shelo kedin. V'nigrem lo tsar. You cut in front of someone in line. Someone's waiting in line. And you cut in front of the line. No one really notices. You cut in, you just slide right in. He says that the Mishpeh Shalom says that's violating Loson Isha Samiso. Oh, another example he gives. Hama'ashen b'kirba sachem mitzarim mizeh. You smoke on other people. Smoking in general is very unhealthy. And the Gedolim now are coming out more and more and more against smoking. But a person still smokes. You smoke near somebody else, he causes them sar. So it says here in the Svarim that Pashup Shat, a person who smokes in front of other people, is violating the Isser of Losonu Ish Esamiso. You're causing somebody else tsar. And you know you're causing them tsar. Because anyone who doesn't smoke, no, doesn't driving around the smell of smoke, it's terrible. Well, example after example of how far Losonu Ish Esachiv goes. Well, then he has one more example. And this example is Sola Maisa, and it's Mamish Musar. It's Musar for us parents first. It's for everyone, but mostly for us parents to start with. That Losonu Ish Es Amiso also applies with one's own children. Oh. It says as follows. You know, parents, you know, want to discipline their kids and train them in the right way. Okay, that's what they're supposed to do. We discussed that before. Give proper chinuch, proper guidance. Give it to Chacha in the proper way. You have to do it in the right way. Oh. He writes here, it's source number 2 here on the source sheet. He said, "Upashut she'aser lehonot etz hakata kama hagadol." It's usher to oppress and cause tsar to a child, like to an adult. V'yesh lehorim umorim lehizara bezeh. And parents and teachers have to be careful. She'yekol tochachatam l'shem shamayim v'lo litzar. When a parent or a teacher gives tochacha, gives rebuke, gives advice, it has to be l'shem shamayim and not to cause pain, rachmanu litzlan. It's not just that it's bad parenting. It's very bad parenting if a child thinks you have to get him. But it's a lav also. It's a lav also. That if you're not giving tochacha l'shem shamayim, then you're sam causing the person sar. And look here, he has a story here. This is a well-known story. He quotes from the Chazon Ish. Very powerful story. Mamish, something important for all parents to hear. He says, Uvda shamanu me'achazon ish. HaChazon Ish ro'a katan over al safek iser muksa b'shabbos. A katan was doing something on Shabbos with muksa, and it was a safek whether it was muksa. So the father got angry. V'aviv tziaro. And the father tziaro caused him sar, caused him tzara, oppressed him. Says something in a very harsh way. Why? In order sheyichanchu, to give him the proper chinuch. V'omer alav HaChazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish said, shehakotan ulai avar iser derabanan. The katan may be violated in iser derabanan. But you, the father, aval aviv, vadai avar al iser deraisa. But the father just violated an iser deraisa. In other words, the Chazon Ish must have seen that it looked like that this father was young and upset and it wasn't all the shame of Shemayim. He was really giving it to his son and too harshly. So the Chazon Ish said that the son made a mistake and it might have been the son did an Isser Derabanan. But the father just violated Losonu Ish Es Amiso because of the way that he gave the Tochacha. Wow. So this love of Losonu, we have to train ourselves. It's our job, as the Chinuch writes, to bring shalom to others, to bring peace, to more shalom and positive things into the world. That's our job. And we have to recognize this idea. And a Lashon Hara speaker, he's often causing others pain, causing others sar, he's machiv and mitzaro. And we have to understand where this applies. It applies everywhere. So many examples. Another example, you block somebody in. This happened to me once, around 15 years ago. I had a whole crazy story that I had a meeting with a big chush of a rug. And then my wife was away for some reason, and I had a babysitter come. I had like 15 minutes available for this important meeting, 15 minutes available. And I worked it out with the babysitting and the this and that, and we're organizing everything. I had a meeting with a very important Rav, one of my Rebbeim. I was very excited about this meeting. And I go running downstairs, the babysitter comes, and I'm blocked in. Somebody blocked me, and you know, there's no way to get out. The person came out angry, came out later. Was very apologetic, very very apologetic. Anyway, I thought of this. I held back. I didn't say it to her. I think maybe saying it to her in a harsh way, I would have done less. I'm not sure how exactly the right way to do it. I think she deserved to be told it's a mistake. But to say it the right way, you have to, without getting too angry, say it the right way. But it's a problem. She blocked me in, and so instead of having 15 minutes of the meeting, I had 10 minutes of the meeting. It was terrible to block somebody and causing someone sorrow like that. It's only for a minute. A minute sometimes ends up being 10 minutes, and we shouldn't do things like that. You can't do things like that. Cutting in front of someone in line, smoking in front of other people, these are all broader examples of losonu ish es amiso. Very, very lamaisa, especially this last point of the Chazon Ish. This last point of the Chazon Ish, very lamaisa, how this applies to parenting, as well. Oh, so that is Lav Yud Gimel, the love of oppressing others with words. The Chofetz Chaim's focus here is on oppressing others with words. But it also applies further to oppressing others with actions and causing others tsar as well. Okay. Now, that's Lav Yud Gimel. Now, the next topic that we have to cover here is actually longer lavin. So just instead, before closing, there's a wonderful story, wonderful mushal, a story heard from my Rebbe in 10th grade by Hayat Shlita, and it applies throughout life, and certainly it applies regarding Benam Chavero, living life in general. I want to share this story with you. And he quoted from his Rebbeim about the Chafetz Chaim. He says as follows. He says, once the Chofetz Chaim was once waiting for a train to come with one of his students. Okay. So the Chofetz Chaim saw, there's a little time. He said to his Talmud, reach down to take out a sefer. We'll learn a few minutes. So the Talmud said to the Chofetz Chaim, Rebbe, I'll do it, but the train's coming in a few minutes. The train's coming in 5 minutes. And it was a tircha to get the sefer out and to learn. So the Chofetz Chaim said to his Talmud, true, the train's coming in 5 minutes. However, there are also 5 minutes until the train comes. The train's coming in 5 minutes, yeah, but there are also 5 minutes until the train comes. Let it sink in. Well, this story, my Rebbe explained, reflects a basic yesod in Torah Hashkafa, Jewish Hashkafa. Judaism is a religion of opportunity. Every year, every month, every day, every hour, every 5 minutes is a chance to do a mitzvah. It's only 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes. And use those 5 minutes in a positive way. And the Chofetz Chaim was teaching his Talmud, use the 5 minutes in a positive way. Go through life trying to chop a mitzvah here and there. For example, what do most people in the world do the last few minutes before seeing a doctor or a dentist? So normally, people sometimes answer, they brush their teeth. I think that's the second most popular answer, but I think the top answer would be they read a magazine. That's what a doctor's office is for. You read a magazine at a doctor's office. Well, I had a Rebbe once. I have a Rebbe. My Rebbe, since I was much younger, and in high school already, and even before high school, Rebbe Einemer Shlita, Gedalia Einemer Shlita, the Rebbe of Silver Spring, he told us once, and stuck with me, he told us once this idea of using a few minutes here and there. And he said he once picked up a sefer, and he said he's going to learn this sefer only when he is waiting for a doctor or a dentist or waiting for the bus. And he said in a couple of years, he finished the whole sefer. Wow, what an idea. The 5 minutes here, the 5 minutes there, They add up, and to use them in a positive way. This is the idea. It's true, the train's coming in 5 minutes, but there are also 5 minutes until the train comes. This is how we should go through life, looking for these opportunities to do mitzvos, to do positive things. And advice. You go through life like this, and you're walking somewhere, somebody's walking, after shul, you're walking home, and somebody's walking by themselves, or after a class. You're in a new school, after a class, someone's walking by themselves. So Sarah sees Rivka walking by herself. Okay, so she can either let her walk by herself, and sometimes Rivka wants to be by herself. You know, maybe Rivka likes to be by herself. Or Sarah can say, you know what? I don't know, Rivka seems to walk by herself a lot. Maybe I'll go over to Rivka, say hello, see how she's doing, and share my day with her. Who knows? And you can spend those few minutes walking from class to class, doing a big mitzvah, gemilas chasadim, a major yesod in life. True, the train's coming in 5 minutes, but there are also 5 minutes until the train comes, a very important message of how to use even 5 minutes. Okay, we'll stop here.